Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers on my end, and I would like to greet you and extend a warm welcome to you for those who are listening to us today. It's always a joy to be here and bring in what I think is new information. I have a couple topics today that I want to discuss, and I welcome your phone calls for those of you who perhaps might want a reading from your Akashic Records. That's available. The cherubim and the center of the cosmos, your records are in their care on that level. And the other things that we do besides reading for people from their records, you might want to connect to your angels, to your guardian angel, have some sense as to what it feels like when they work with you. Sometimes people want to know about an individual that has crossed over to the other side and they want information about them. Well, we have a caller. Didn't really get a chance to talk about the cherubim, but we're glad to have you here. And your name?
Christina.
Hi, Christina.
How are you?
What can we do for you? Oh, we're great. What part of the country are you from?
I'm in eastern part of the country. I'm in Massachusetts.
Ah, Massachusetts. And what can we do for Christina in Massachusetts?
Well, I was going to ask you about correct careers for me, my career path.
Correct. Did you say career path?
Yes, I did.
Now, I want an understanding of what you mean by career path, because some people might mean the manner in which they could earn a living. Some people might mean the mission that they contracted for before they came into this lifetime. So it's not a trick question. I'm trying to understand your, you know, where you're coming from.
Well, I've asked the bigger question before, and I have to say, like, I've fallen a little bit flat. So I guess the simpler question would be really great right now.
You followed what?
I asked the bigger question before, like, you know, my purpose and all that sort of thing. So I'd like to just know the simple answer right now.
Oh, so in other words, you have asked us before a question that you thought maybe was too grand, and you want a little piece of it is what you're supposed to be doing today. Is that kind of where you are?
Yes, that's it.
Now, are you settled in a, how should I say this, a profession or a career path right now, which pays your income that sustains you? Have you settled with that?
Am I settled with it?
Well, see, I don't know whether to ask the cherubim about your mission today or ask them about a career path for you in the working world.
Yes, that's what I'd like, the second part.
Okay, so you want to know what you should be doing in the working world.
Yes.
Now, are you just starting out, or have you been in the work field for a while?
Yes, I've had some false starts, I feel like, where I've been, yeah, that's why I'm interested in hearing what other potentials are out there for me.
Well, before we ask that question of the cherubim, I'd like to give you a few thoughts, if I might. I have known of people who have been in a situation where you are in right now, where they wanted to know where their talents were, what they should pursue to support themselves. I think we have time for a little story. I'll tell you this real quick because it illustrates the point, and I love this story. There was a lady here where I live. She found that her husband had died, so she was a widow, and she had never worked before. Her husband had always supported her, and she didn't know where to start. So what she did was she sat down with a paper and pencil and wrote down, she made a couple categories, all of the talents that she had, the experiences that she had, because she felt like she had none. She had worked in being a housewife and a homemaker, really didn't have any experience, and she felt like she really didn't have the skills. So this is why the paper approach worked so well. So she wrote down the things that she needed to do. She needed, well, she knew that she knew how to drive. So that was one of her skills. She knew how to drive a car. She didn't have a lot of money because her husband didn't have life insurance. She had $8,000, and she couldn't think of anything else to put down to her piece of paper. She felt very destitute. So she thought about this. Okay, she can drive. She has $8,000. How is she going to make an income with this? Well, she was, what I would say, inspired by the sense that she looked at that pad of paper and she started thinking of all the things that you could do with $8,000 and a driver's license. What she finally came up with was that she found a vintage car that she could buy for her $8,000. Doesn't sound like a lot of money, but sometimes you can find these vintage cars. She just happened to come across an old Rolls-Royce that the owner was willing to sell to her for $8,000. You see, what you can see here is a bit of providence helping her out.
Yeah.
So she took this vintage car, and she bought a uniform that looked like a chauffeur's uniform, and she started taking children, high school kids, to their proms and drove them, you know, for the night. The parents hired her for the night to transport the children on, you know, for graduation and proms and things of that nature. And then she started picking up, working for corporations, picking up guests and other people from the airport for them. So she had this lovely car and this uniform, and she drove corporate individuals back and forth from the airport. One thing led to another, and she has a very prosperous business today. So I wanted to give that little story. There's lots of stories like that. And so I really do highly recommend this process. Number one, write down what you feel are your skills. Now, do you have some areas that you feel that you that are strong points for you?
Not especially. I lean towards the arts, but I don't.
Okay, that would be something that you would put down on your paper, that
right.
You lean towards the arts. Then, do you have any work experience at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what you would do, what kinds of work have you done in the past?
Well, I'm certified to teach, so I teach art. But that's why I'm calling, to find out, you know, a more fulfilling career for me, because it's not fulfilling.
Okay, so you said it's not fulfilling?
Right.
Okay, but still you have, even though you don't have a fulfilling feeling about that, you have the talent and the ability, so you would put that down on your paper.
Okay.
In other words, you have this experience of being an art teacher. It might not be fulfilling, yet there is this experience and knowledge that you have that might be used elsewhere. You see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Okay, so the reason why this is so important to write down all these aspects is because when a person has a difficulty making up their mind, they see it on paper, it's like their higher mind works with their brain, works with different aspects of the physical, and ideas start to occur to you because it's on paper. One of the other things is something that I was going to discuss earlier, is how the cherubim, through vibrations, bring inspiration. In other words, when people have inspiration, they are working with God's energy, the divine energy that the cherubim bring throughout the world. And it was one of the things, topics that I wish to discuss today, and I'll tell you this too, is to think of the cherubim, think of them bringing the inspiration to you. In other words, envision in your mind this cherubim angel bringing inspiration that is fulfilling for you, where you could make an income. And write down all of these things on the paper, like I'm telling you. And as you study this, there are going to be things that will be happening in your life that will bring opportunity to you. And also, you will get some ideas, because you have other talents besides being the art teacher. You might be patient. You might know how to work with children. In other words, all these aspects of yourself and your abilities you write down. Another thing that you might want to write down is what you feel that you need to sustain yourself. In other words, everybody has a figure. They say, oh, I need X number of dollars to live. Well, you want to not just write down that you're going to materialize that. You want to know that you'll materialize that, and also much greater, to bring this abundance to me. So that's how you plan it. Now, we'll take a moment, and we'll see what the cherubim have to say in your particular case, since we have them on the line, so to speak, and maybe they could give verbalize some inspiration for you now. So let's
Great.
See what they say.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that the cherubim show themselves as the female aspect of the angel. They are androgynous, but when they work with human beings, they, in essence, sort of take a motherly role, and so they show themselves as the female, not the male who is the defender, but the female who is the nurturer. And there is a cherubim here. I see her. She's not here per se, but there's a part of my consciousness that has gone to their realm. And so that is how I see them standing there. She is holding your record. And I don't see the cover. She has opened the record, and what she is showing me is that there is a thread of ability that has run through all of your lifetimes. It is perhaps one of the reasons why art appealed to you, because of the sensitivity and the gentleness and the compassion that that you have within your being. And she is sort of like flipping the pages through the different lifetimes. And she said that this is something that you have followed. It has been, I called it a thread or this trail through all of your different lifetimes. These are abilities that you have had. And you had the ability to reach people. Even though you have perhaps worked with younger people, she is saying that you have a very great ability to work with the older generation.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell with you, or a sensitivity in your heart of working with the older generation?
Not at this time, but I'll definitely think about it.
Think about that, yes. She said that, and she is showing me elderly people who need assistance. They do not have family members who are willing to spend time with them. She is saying that you have the gift to be an advocate for them. And what I am saying is, you might not have considered this in your thoughts of your future, but what she is saying is that you have the heart and the soul and the ability to care for this group of people who, in many areas, are bereft of those who would look after them, who would care for them, who would nurture them. She is closing the book because she wants me to discuss with you some aspects of this, so she is aware that it is in my information bank.
Okay.
So you might not be familiar with this at the moment, but people are living longer. Some of them are very wealthy, yet they don't have family members who are looking out for their interests. They've gotten to the point where they don't want to go to a nursing home. They want to stay in their home, but they need help with things like writing checks, making sure the bills are paid, making sure their taxes are done. And people pay for this kind of assistance. Are you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Well, it's getting to be a I see people out there working in the field, and they are paid for this. And now this is one way that you could be an advocate for the older generation. You would, in essence, be in business for yourself. Does that appeal to you at all, being in business for yourself?
Very much so. Very much.
Okay. Well, I can't think of the organization right now that works with these advocates. But you see, what happens is you can get referrals from hospitals. I'm trying to think. You know, right at the moment, I can't think of the... If you send me an email at Carolyn, at CarolynEvers.com, I'll get the name of the organizations for you to contact. You might have to take some training courses, but you could be doing other things before you actually got to that. There is a great need for this.
Okay.
And you would be in business for yourself. But what the cherubim have said is whether, no matter what aspect that you worked with the elderly, that you have the compassion, you are able to reach them in ways that others cannot.
Wow.
So is that helpful to you?
That is. Now I wonder about that bigger piece you're talking about, like... I guess it's about connecting.
But you see, all these things work in with one another.
Of course.
Many times the bigger piece works with the smaller piece. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's the way we express it in this lifetime. But let me know how things are going. And I do recommend that you sit down and think about some of these different aspects. But I'll give you the name of this organization if it appeals to you. And
great.
Especially if you want to be in business for yourself, this is a marvelous way to start a business.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, Christina.
It was really great. Thank you, Carolyn.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So on that call with Christina, we sort of got into some of the information about the cherubim. And for those of you who are not familiar with my work, there is a part of my consciousness that is able to travel to the center of the cosmos and work with the cherubim and their records. Oh, we have another caller. And your name, please.
Hey, Carolyn. This is Nancy Sue. How you doing?
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing, dear?
I'm doing good. You thought I called in twice yesterday, didn't you?
Well, when I heard the name Nancy, actually... the other person had a quality to her voice that sounded like you. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. And you were both named Nancy. Yeah, I did think it was you.
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I do have a question for the cherubims today.
Okay.
And it's, I would like to know what the soul contract is with my daughter, Kimberly. I feel like there's something I... need to be doing with her, but I'm not grasping it.
Nancy, that's probably accurate in the sense that I have found that the souls that come in family groups, family groupings, For the most part, it's not usually the first time that we have done this.
Right.
And the more that I do readings for people, the more this seems to play out, that we come back with each other. We take different relationships, like, you know, mother, father, spouse, siblings, cousins, and these close-knit groups seem to form many relationships with each other. We seem to run through every relationship. And when a soul comes in with a specific goal in mind, they usually contact the individuals that was in their rather tight-knit group and see if they are willing to help them on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So in the planning stage, what comes first is the soul plans what the objective is for that lifetime. For instance, I'm just going to give an example.
Okay.
They might feel that they really need to learn patience, or they might feel that now is the lifetime where they've got to take their power back, that they've let others take their power. They do not wish to be controlled any longer or be the victim, that this is the lifetime to give up that victimhood and walk into their own power. So the soul, it seems from the records, as they're planning this lifetime that they're coming into, they look at the issues, and it's usually, there might be several issues that they need to work on, but there will be one issue in particular that will overshadow the other components. And so after the soul makes that decision, then they then go to the group members that are on the other side with them that wouldn't mind planning another lifetime with them, and they will make commitments and agreements then with individuals. This usually happens with souls who are advanced enough to be able to do this kind of planning, because there are some souls who maybe haven't had many lifetimes and they don't have the experience to do this kind of planning, and so they allow themselves to be directed more by those in spirit that can help them. But I think here in this country, we are developed enough that we can do this kind of planning. And I would suggest that there's a good possibility that all of us in our immediate family groups have come in with some sort of planning where we need to work on that. I will ask the cherubim, Nancy, but tell me why you come up with this question, because I suspect you are sensing something about this yourself.
Well, I am. I believe, you know, in the beginning before when I just got on, started to get on my path, I believe that I was here because I needed to help her with her children, with their growth, with her patience.
We all have to work on that one, don't we?
Yes. But I've done all that, and there's something, I mean, I've even, you know, had intentions at night when I go to sleep to just show me what I need to be doing to help her on her way. And it's just
How old is she now?
I feel like there's just something there, but I'm not able to pull it up by myself.
Yeah, you can't identify it. How old is she now, Nancy?
She's 34.
Okay. Now, I ask that because that has, seems to have a bearing, too, with readings that I do for people. It is usually in those earlier ages where the parents, and especially the mother, has more of a commitment with the child than later on. But we'll see what the cherubims have to say about it. So give me a moment to connect, Nancy.
Thank you.
I just see the cherubim as the angel standing there with the record in the hand. I am seeing the cherubim standing there with the record in the hand, but between she and the record and myself, it is a gigantic glow of a green light. It's almost like a mist. And she wanted me to see that and transfer that thought to you. And as you are probably aware, green in particular is the color of healing. So in this relationship between the two of you, there is an element of healing, and it is a great part of the commitment, because what I saw was so much of the green light around the question. And so now that is starting to diffuse and move back, because I have told you of this, that seems to be the central component, so to speak, of this relationship, is the aspect of healing. And so as I said, the green mist has moved away, and now the cherubim is there. She has your record open, and she is pointing to a particular part of the record. And, of course, it has to do with the two of you and the commitment. Now, she is saying this is not just your commitment to her, but rather the two of you have made a joint commitment with one another with regards to the aspect of healing. In other words, she is here also to help you heal as you are here to help her heal. And the question has to do with past lifetimes. Now, that wasn't a surprise to you, was it?
No.
That the two of you are here to heal one another's past lifetimes, that this goes beyond the role of mother and daughter. This goes to the role of two souls who have journeyed together over a long period of time. And in that journeying, that, as you can imagine, we all do this, there were wrong decisions made on both parts, so it's not like one person is blamed, that it was a situation where the two of you throughout your different lifetimes have made incorrect decisions that have one time or another have harmed the other, either physically or emotionally or both. That there were some issues in the past of jealousy that caused the pain between the two of you. And now is the time where you are here, where you are each are given the opportunity to heal one another through the concept of forgiveness. She is also saying that it is not necessary to remember these past lifetimes. It is not necessary to revisit those periods of time where you were hurt or she was hurt. That what is necessary now is to see the bigger picture. That these are two souls, you and she are two souls who, their magnificence, only need to feel love and to feel the release of the past. And you release the past through this great desire of forgiveness. So it's not a case where you need her forgiveness, but also she needs your forgiveness. It is the two of you willing to come together, willing to be the equals who will open up their hearts and heal one another for, as they're saying, the last time through forgiveness. That you've tried this in the past. You truly have. The two of you have. But there have been sometimes when one or the other held back because they felt the pain was too great to forgive. And she is saying that there is really no need for you to discuss this with your daughter, that what you need to do is to go into meditation, not that you wish to reveal the details of the past, but your heart is big enough now to unconditionally forgive this soul for any pain that they have caused you and to ask their soul to forgive you for any pain that you have caused them in the past. And she is saying you don't have to have this you don't have to have this conversation with your daughter. That all you need to do is go into a meditative state and direct this information to her soul, to her energy field. So you go into meditation, you go with the idea that you are going to forgive her and you're going to ask her to forgive you, and they are suggesting that before you do this, that you align yourself with Source. That's just the, not the desire so much, but to know that you are working with Source's energy so that the divine power can resolve this. You're going to start the process, but working with Source, you know that Source will resolve the issues in their great love and understanding and compassion for each other. So you align yourself with Source, and you just, in your meditation, speak to her soul as if she were in front of you, letting her know that you forgive anything that you have ever that has ever occurred between the two of you, and you ask for her forgiveness. And that is all that you need to do. With that, it will release any connection. She's showing me that you have cords between one another, and these cords are elements of pain in the sense that at some time or another in this lifetime or in other lifetimes, you felt on some level that you were rebuffed and not fully accepted. In other words, it wasn't necessarily true that you didn't accept the other one, but because of the past, one or the other felt that they were not accepted for who they are. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it does.
Mm-hmm. So again, this is the attitudes from the past, they are saying, Nancy. And the reason this is all coming up now is because this is the time when we are to clear up all of our obligations to the past and the present so that we can all ascend and move on to the next higher dimension.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Well, I would like to add to that, Nancy. I think that it was very perceptive of you that you felt that there was something here that you were not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you have the desire yourself to work on your own soul growth, that you, through your meditation, realize that there was something else. So, you know, I think that's marvelous that you were aware of that.
Thank you. I'm slowly growing, huh?
Oh, I don't think you're slowly growing. I think you're growing a lot faster than you're giving yourself credit for. And perhaps part of that is because you're identifying with the ego. You know, see more of yourself as an extension of this very powerful soul. You know, the entire soul does not incarnate in each lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part of it that holds themselves back because that it is too large to be contained in one physical body. So there is a great mastery there that you don't recognize. You're identifying with only the ego. There is this higher self, and that part of your higher self, more of that will be integrating with us as we grow and move towards the next higher dimension. And it seems to me that your higher self is overlighting your ego self feeding you this inspiration, you know, this inspiration to grow, to progress, to heal. And so my blessings to you, Nancy. You just go right ahead and heal this, dear.
God bless you, Carolyn. Thank you so much.
You too, Nancy. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So we sort of got involved with the work of the cherubim, but not really talking so much about the cherubim themselves. And my phone number here, in case someone else wants us to check your records, the toll-free number here, if you live in the States, is 877-876-5227. And I would also like to mention my website is www.carolynevers.com, CarolynEvers.com. And I would like to mention that we do offer readings much more detailed than what we can do here on the air because of the limited time. And also to recommend the conference calls. I'm making up the schedule for November, and we have members of the spiritual hierarchy that come every month. And you simply join us on the telephone, and we have Mother Mary, Jesus, the fireside chat, which is usually a group of souls who are discussing some aspect of ascension, and then Archangel Michael and Master Kasumi. Imagine being able to pick up a telephone at a designated time, hear a message from them, do a meditation with them, and then be able to ask them questions. It has been a remarkable experience. Matter of fact, I was working on producing some CDs because the CDs of the different conference calls are available, and I was doing one recently for the Fireside Chat October 23rd, which is one that Jesus came and worked himself. It was so beautiful. The concept of that particular call was peace, and the meditation was peace. And the questions from those on the telephone were so extraordinary. The answers from Jesus with regards to their questions got involved into the planning with the Elohim of this planetary sphere and how it happened and how where the individuals came from that was involved in the planning. It was quite beautiful. So the information that's coming out of the conference calls, I have to tell you, is remarkable. And if your soul is prompting to be a part of that, do consider it. I recommend it highly. Now, getting back to the cherubim, there's two levels of cherubim. There is the level that is the closest to source, and they take the vibration. Well, all the cherubim are masters with vibration. They're working with vibration in some aspect on the cosmic level. And part of the cherubim take the vibration as it comes from source. I use the word source because I feel comfortable with that word, that being in the center of the cosmos is responsible for all life in the entire cosmos. And so I like that word source. Some people use the word God, which is a good word, or all there is. But I use the word source because it just seems easier to me. So the cherubim take the vibration as it comes from source, and they move that vibration throughout the entire cosmos in a very orderly manner. And what happens is, as they're working with the vibration, it gathers all of the experience, all of the knowledge of everything that is going on in the cosmos, and then it eventually works its way back to source, where God understands everything that is happening in the entire created universe. Now, we spoke to Christina about inspiration. Inspiration is a vibration that comes from Source. And it is the cherubim that are carrying this vibration of inspiration also. So whether you are a scientist, whether you are an artist, whether you are a musical composer, the inspiration that you received did come from God or Source, but it was carried through the ethers, through the work of the cherubim as they are moving this vibration throughout the cosmos. And one of the things that they said to me is that when you wish to be inspired, when you have answers that you are having difficulty determining what is best for you, of course you're going to pray to God, and you're going to use the positive affirmation in the now, thanking God for the inspiration that God or Source sends to you. But it would be very powerful. It would be a very powerful help if you connect with the cherubim and recognize that they do bring this to you and work with them. So it was something that they told me today. I have been aware of the fact that they are responsible for this inspiration. Then the second band, or second part of the band, which is beneath that, are the cherubim group that I work with. And if you're interested in all the places where the Akashic readings are located, that is on my website also, at carolynevers.com. On the bottom, there is a picture that denotes the Akashic reading information. And there is a beautiful description, this was given to me by the cherubim, of where all of the records are located. And so to start out with that, we carry our own personal records of our own experiences in our own energy body. And so this is something that is easier for people to work with one-on-one with one another because they are carrying their own record. And there are some people who have the ability that they can tap into their own records, but that's a little bit more difficult to read your own records. So I've done this with other people, showing them how to work with their records. And we have another caller, and your name.
My name is Ruth Ann, and Carolyn, thank you for that exercise in forgiveness. I know it was directed to your last caller, but it's very helpful. I have a question.
Let me comment on that, my dear. I want to hear what you have to say, but that idea of forgiveness, I think, applies to all of us right now because we are all preparing for ascension, and it's very important to forgive. We have so many things that have happened to us through all of these lifetimes. I know I've seen so much of it as I've been clearing out my past lifetimes.
Yes.
So, Ruth Ann, what can we do for you, dear?
Also was thinking about forgiveness, needing to forgive, and this exercise gives me, you know, guidance in how I can go about that, so I appreciate that.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
I was calling because throughout my life I have had glimpses of past lives that seem very clear and real to me, and most of them seem like they were of this earth. However, some seem like they were other places. And I was just wondering if I have always incarnated here on this earth, and maybe the times that I've had glimpses of that seem like they were somewhere else, maybe it was just a different civilization like Lemuria or something like that. I was just wondering.
And so your question, Ruth Ann?
Is, have I always incarnated on this earth?
I will ask that question, but I will answer give you some information from some of the conference calls that we have done. The one in particular that I was talking about, Jesus gave a beautiful description of the formation of this particular galaxy. And from what I have heard, have been informed by the spiritual hierarchy, the galaxy in which we live in is a relatively young galaxy by comparison to some other parts of the cosmos. Mm-hmm. And when the planning was done with the Elohim and there was a council of great light beings that did this planning, there was nothing here. There was a great deal of planning before its creation. Now, if you stop and think about it, the souls that came here, they were already created. Their soul was formed by Source a long time ago. And from the records that I have been able to read, it seems like the souls were all created at one time. The beginnings of their souls were created at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The divisions as to the different directions that they went to create or to experience happened in different segments. So I will say this, all of us here, there would be very few of us here who did not have an incarnation on some other planetary sphere or move through other planetary spheres in their travels. So I'm going to ask the cherubim, but I'll be honest with you, I think that what you're seeing is very accurate experiences of things that you've done in the past. And so in other words, we came here as a group of souls to experience this denser, I'm trying to think of the word to put it, this level where the gases and solids were denser. I've been told that there's no other place where the atmosphere and the is as dense as it is here on this planet. Not so much atmosphere, but the living conditions. And our bodies have a denseness about it that is not found in other places, that the levels are on a higher level. We have gone down into perhaps the densest that there is. And so the souls who came here came from other experiences, other planetary systems, and at the end of this cycle, one of the promises that we were given is we have the opportunity to choose now where we are going next. We have the opportunity to choose to go home where we came from. We could go to the Golden Galaxy with Archangel Michael that he is working with, or we can continue on the path that we are on. So your question, I think, is very appropriate. But, Ruth Ann, let me get the answer. I wanted to kind of fill you in on that little bit of the background.
Uh-huh.
And now, and of course, they are standing there. They are standing there with your record, and they're showing me an image. At their feet, there is greenery. It reminds me of holly. You know how you see in the Christmas period of time on cards and so forth, they will show sprigs of holly with the berries to denote the Christmas period of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the image that she is giving me, and I'm sure there's a reason for this. We'll have to see what it is.
Okay.
She is saying, interestingly, that one of the lifetimes that you had on Earth was that you came at the time when Yeshua incarnated here. That is why she was showing me the holly. That this was the Christmas story that you were so joyful in being a part of. It was one of the reasons that attracted your soul to this planetary sphere, that you could be here with Yeshua and work with him in that lifetime as you have worked with him in other lifetimes. Yeshua was one of the souls, though that wasn't his name then, that planned this round of experience. He worked with the Elohim. He is the king of this planetary, this planet on Earth. It is his responsibility. And that was what had attracted you to this planet, to be able to work with this very advanced being, and that you had come before before you had agreed to that he had actually invited you to join this glorious experiment, that you had been in other planetary experiences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to see what they are, what you were doing there. You were in this other planetary experiences. You were one of the scientists that was working with the knowledge of the systems in plants. There were certain systems that needed to be set up in the plant world on this planet, and you were one of a very knowledgeable scientist who was called forth, that Yeshua had called you forth to be with him and help work in that planning stage. And that is the reason that you came here in this planetary sphere. But before that, you were on other planets working with the same, working with that same kind of energy as the scientists, incorporating the systems into what would be considered plant life.
Okay, that's interesting. I do have an affinity for plants. I'm an artist, and I've actually done paintings of some of these environments that I remember. So,
isn't that fascinating?
This knowledge of plants is not something I'm conscious of in this lifetime. Is that something that my soul retains?
We have probably 1 minute, Ruth Ann, and I have to get off the air, but let me tell you this, that consciously you might not be aware of this. Unconsciously, there is a great reservoir of knowledge. Now, do you meditate before you draw?
Sometimes.
What they are telling me is, if you want to tap into your knowledge more of what you know, we've got to go, my dear. Meditate first.
Okay, I will do.
Good talking to you.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.